بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولما ورد ماء مدين. The theme of this part of the series is the dua of Musa alayhi salam. Tonight, inshallah, we will try and conclude the circumstances which led to him making the dua itself, and the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had answered and responded to his dua. Yesterday we spoke about Musa alayhi salam. He was forced to leave the city of Egypt because he had killed a man from the elite forces of Fir'aun. He fled Egypt and he decided to proceed towards a little village or a little town known as Midian, which was a distance of 8 days' journey from Egypt. So Musa alayhi salam undertook this long journey by foot. You can well imagine what his condition was by the time he got to Midian. When he got to the city of Midian, he had not taken along with him any provisions. He had not taken along with him any additional clothing or baggage or food or whatsoever. In fact, according to some mufassirin, for 7 days he had not eaten anything wholesome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, because he left in haste. The man came from one part of the city and told him, this is what's happening. They had a meeting regarding you and concerning you, and they are about to murder you and kill you because you had unintentionally killed this person. Allah says, yesterday we spoke about his journey to Madian. Allah says, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنْ. Musa alayhi salam, he approaches the little town of Madian, which is far away from the rule of Fir'aun. Fir'aun has no influence over this town of Maryam, wherein Shu'aib alayhi salam is residing with his family. Allah says, and when he arrived at the waters of Madian, the waters of Madian on the outskirts of the town, the people would go to a certain well, to the waters of Madian, the water that was available in order to feed their livestock water to drink. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he arrived at the waters of Madian, وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. He found a large group, a large number of people, they were watering their animals. So it's probably in the evening, because generally that is when they come and they water their animals in the evening, and then they go and they proceed towards their respective places of residence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he found a group number of people, a large number of people, and they were menfolk. They were all drawing water from this well and giving the water to their animals to drink. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. In one corner, he noticed, he was watching this scene, and he noticed in one corner, he found aloof from them, away from the men folk, he found two women. They were keeping back their animals. So Musa alayhi salam noticed this. He saw these two girls, and they were stopping their goats. They were pulling their goats back from going to the water so that they do not get mixed up with the other goats. So these two women, under much difficulty and under much hardship, after a long day of herding their animals by the evening, under these difficult hardships and circumstances, they are trying to keep their goats back so that the goats do not proceed towards the water. And imagine the goats are thirsty. So imagine what a difficult task it must have been for them, these two women, to keep their goats back so they do not get mixed up with the other goats. So Musa alayhi salam witnessed this, and he saw what is happening. So he went up to these two women. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. He realized they were experiencing difficulty. None of the men were interested in assisting them, helping them. So he went up to them and he asked them, he says, what is the matter with you? What's happening? What's going on over here? Why are the two of you doing this while the rest of the people are over there watering their animals? قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَى. They responded, they said, we cannot water our own animals unless the shepherds bring their animals back. We will have to wait until the shepherds have watered their animals. And it seemed as if this was a daily happening. Every day this was the situation. These two weak women were made to wait and hold the animals back with difficulty until the men finished water their animals, and once they have taken the animals back to their places of residence and to from wherever they came, then only were these two women allowed to go and water the animals. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they said, in order to avoid mixing with the menfolk. Allahu Akbar, look at this, brothers and sisters. A great lesson for us. Look at the circumstances under which they were and what they were experiencing. Such hardship. A long day they are out herding the animals, feeding the animals. They themselves are women folk. They are weak, okay? And they are probably tired themselves, frustrated at the end of the day. And here the animals are giving them a hard time. They are holding the animals back and the animals just want to proceed towards the water. Yet, under such hardship and difficulties, what do they say? We cannot mix with the men. We cannot mix with the men. If there was anyone who had a justifiable reason to go and mix with the men and do what the men are doing, would have been these two women. Because today, we have a family function and we say, ah man, there's so much trouble in segregating. There's so much, why segregate? She's my sister-in-law, he's my brother-in-law, we are cousins. There's going to be too much trouble to put up a separate marquee. There's going to be too much trouble to segregate the genders, put the men one side. We just one family. Too much trouble. Look at these women. Allahu Akbar, a great lesson for you and I. With all the difficulty, the extreme hardship that they are going through and everyday experience that they are having, yet they say, we cannot go. La nasqi. We cannot go and join them. They are all menfolk. We'll have to wait until they are done. And once the men have moved away, then we can take our animals and give them water to drink. So they preferred hardship rather than getting mixed up with menfolk. They preferred the hardship. Rather than getting mixed up with the menfolk, they said, we rather suffer the hardship in this world than suffer the consequences in the akhirah of mixing and intermingling and freely, getting mixed up with the men. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. Naturally, they knew Musa alayhi salam would think to himself, but why are you women doing this work? This is the job of men. Where are the men from your family? Where are your brothers? Where is your father? Why are you two women acting as shepherds and herding the animals? So they answered. Without Musa alayhi salam asking the question, they understood that Musa alayhi salam is probably thinking to himself, and he probably has this objection in his mind. What did they say? وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. We do not have any brothers, and our father is a very old man. Our father is a very old man. He cannot carry out this job. He cannot do the task. None of the menfolk in the town are prepared to assist him with this. So we are forced to carry out this job on behalf of our father. Remember, who are these two daughters? They are the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And who is the old, very old man who they are referring to? None other than the Nabi of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salam. So these are the two daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam, and they are making the khidmah. They are attending to the needs and the requirements of their extremely old father, who was a great Nabi of Allah, Azza wa Jal. So Musa alayhi salam, he understood their plight, and he realized that these women needed some assistance. So what did he do? فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. So he watered their animals for their sake. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. Then he turned to the dhill. He went to a nearby shade. There was a tree over there, and he sat in the shade of the tree. Now Musa alayhi salam, he took pity on these girls. He drew out water from the well. He gave the water to the animals to drink. It is reported in some narrations that the shepherds, what they would do after they had watered their animals and they had drew water from the well, what would they do? They would place a huge rock onto the well. They would place a huge rock onto the well so that the well would become unusable. So these ladies, these poor ladies, they of course could not lift that rock. And it is said about that rock, it was such a heavy rock that they had used to place on the mouth of the well that it needed 10 strong men to remove that rock from the mouth of the well. So these ladies, what would they do? Is they would go to the well, whatever water was found around the well, whatever puddles of water remained, that is how they used that water to feed their animals and to give the animals water to drink. So Musa alayhi salam realized this. And Allah, remember the power, we spoke about the power of Musa alayhi salam. Allah gave him such strong power and such immense strength that when the menfolk went away and they took the animals away, he went and he himself lifted that rock from the well. And we will learn later on how one of the women was so amazed by the strength of Musa alayhi salam, and they made mention of it to their father. So Musa alayhi salam removed this huge rock, and he then, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا, Allah says he watered their animals for their sake, for them, and he left them to go on with their business, and they returned home. What did Musa alayhi salam do? He went, Allah says, فَتَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. Allah explains his situation. Imagine, subhanAllah, put yourself in that position. He's come to this place, he's got no job. He's got no family, he's got no wife, he's got no provision, he's got no sustenance, he's got no income, he has no clothes, he has no place to spend the night. And it's now evening. The sun is about to set. It's a late afternoon. Allah says he goes and he sits in the shade of a tree. And then he makes this amazing, amazing dua. Again, you know, we spoke about the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam and the etiquette that he had in his dua. Okay? Look at the dua of Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when he sat there, and it was just him and his Allah, he sat in the shade of the tree, Allah says, فَقَالَ. He made a dua. And what did he say? رَبِّ. My Rabb. My Rabb. Every dua of every Nabi, what attribute did they use? Rabb. We spoke about Rabb. In our very first lesson, we spoke about the meaning of Rabb. Ayyub alayhi salam, what was his dua? رَبِّ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرْ. The dua of Asiya alayhi salam, رَبِّ. Oh my Rabb, ابْنِ لِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Build for me a house near you in Jannah. The dua of Musa alayhi salam, Rabb. Always in your dua, use this attribute of Allah, Rabb. The attribute, Rabb. He says, Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. He has so much to ask for right now, okay? He needs food, he needs so much, we just mentioned it. He needs so much right now. Look at the dua that he makes. He says, Rabb, oh my Lord, I am in need of whatever good you send down to me. Amazing. Subhanallah, you know, if you could understand it in Arabic, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, I am faqir. What does faqir mean? Faqir means dirt, poor, a beggar, one who has nothing, absolutely nothing. Oh Allah, I am a faqir. I am really, really in need of min khayr. Whatever good you wish to send down to me right now, I am in need of it. He doesn't confine the dua. Because what does he need? There's so many things that he needs. But he's shy. The etiquette. He doesn't say, oh Allah, I need a place to stay. Oh Allah, I need some food to eat. Oh Allah, I need some water to drink. Oh Allah, I need a wife. Oh Allah, I need a family. Oh Allah, no. He says, oh Allah, whatever good you can send down to me right now, I need it. What a beautiful expression. You know, and this is the dua that we should make. You know, have adab, etiquette before Allah. Because sometimes when we're sitting with a long list, not that Allah can't fulfill it. Not that Allah cannot give you everything you ask for. But sometimes, there is a tone of ungratefulness in what we are asking for because Allah has given you so much already. And you are still, it's like you're only looking at what Allah has not given you, but you're not looking at what Allah has already given you. So he makes this dua because there's so many things that he needs right now. He says, oh Allah, whatever good you're going to send down to me, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's shelter, whatever good it is that you are going to send down to me right now, Allah, I really do need it. I do need it. Okay, he doesn't specify. And another thing we learned from this, don't, you know, we spoke about capping your dua. Don't cap your dua. Don't feel, you know what, it's too much to ask for because then you are doubting Allah's power. Let me not ask, that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when you ask for Jannah, what should you ask for? Don't just ask Allah for Jannah. Salullah Jannatul Firdaus. Ask Allah Jannatul Firdaus. What is Jannatul Firdaus? The highest part of Jannah. The best part of Jannah is Jannatul Firdaus. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us in the dua, whenever you make dua, ask Allah for the best. Ask Allah for the best. And don't feel, maybe it's too much I'm asking for, because then you are doubting Allah's power. You are doubting the qudrat of Allah. And the moment you doubt the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is going to treat you according to the way you expect and the perception you have of Allah azza wa jal. So this is the dua that he made. He just made this one dua. And what happens next? Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now answers dua. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. The Quran does not mention what happens when the two girls, the two daughters, when they go back home. When they got back home,
Shu'aib alayhi salam was surprised, the two of you are back home quite rather early today. So they explained the incident. Oh, our father, this is what happened. There was a man who came and he assisted us. And this is what had transpired. And as a result, we were able to come home early today. Shu'aib alayhi salam says, who is this man? Because for so many years, there's not a single man in the city who was prepared to assist the two of you. So he must be really a strange person, a really noble man of high etiquette and of high respect and of high honor. That he has done this for you, he sent his eldest daughter. He says, go to this man. He is perhaps a stranger, a traveler in our city, and call him home. Tell him that I wish to reward him for his services and for the khidmah that he made of the two of you. Now look at this. Allah says, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا. Allah says, one of the two, إِحْدَاهُمَا, one of the two daughters, came to him. جَاءَتْهُ came to Musa. While Musa was sitting there, look at how Allah answered his dua. Now watch how the dua is answered. Right? She came up to him, and from a distance, Mufassirin explained that her shyness was such, because Allah says, how did she come to him? Tamshi ala istihya. She came to him walking. Look, in the translations of the Quran, you will find walking with shyness. Tamshi means she is walking. Ala doesn't actually mean with. Ala means what? On top of. On top of. But in order for it to make sense in the English language, you will not translate it as she was walking on top of shyness. It doesn't make sense. Right? So, we are forced to translate it in English as she was walking with shyness. That makes sense. But with does not capture the shyness and the modesty with which we came. Because Allah did not say, Tamshi bi istihya. She's walking with shyness. Allah said she was walking on shyness. To show the high level of shyness and modesty when she came before Musa alayhi salam, it was so high that Allah says it was as if she was walking on shyness. Meaning, every step that she took was motivated by modesty. Allahu Akbar. Such was her shyness. She didn't just come with shyness, but it was as if shyness was carrying her all the way. So in her tone, there was shyness. There was modesty. In her approach, in her speech, in her walk, in the manner she came, in every aspect, shyness was carrying her all the way and brought her to Musa alayhi salam. Mufassirin explained that when she came to Musa alayhi salam, then she raised her sleeve to cover her face. This was part of the shyness with which she came. To cover her face, she put her sleeve above her, in front of her face, and she started speaking to Musa alayhi salam. Eventually, what did she say? She says, قَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ. My father is calling you. لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا. My father is calling you so that he rewards you with something in return for watering the animals. He wants to reward you. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. So the two of them are now returning to the house of Shu'aib alayhi salam. But look at how they return. Initially, she wanted to walk in front. Of course, she had to walk in front because Musa alayhi salam did not know the road. But Musa alayhi salam told her, allow me to walk in the front. You walk behind me and you can direct me from behind. This is the level of haya, the level of modesty. Brothers, that Muslim women today, unfortunately, you know, it might offend some people. But unfortunately today, wallahi, day by day, our Muslim women are losing this haya. This aspect of modesty and shyfulness, bashfulness has come out of the ummah, has come out of the Muslim woman. It is quite apparent in the dressing when you go out there. And sometimes you feel to yourself, but how does this woman's father or how does this woman's husband allow this? That the woman is becoming an object of lust, of strange men out there. So we learn something from this. Haya, modesty, the fatik al-haya, fasna' ma shi'. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, once you lose haya, then there's nothing left in you. You will go on doing as you please. Then there's nothing left. Okay? Haya is what keeps you in your iman. When haya goes, everything else goes. Then everything else is gone. Then everything else becomes legal for you to do. So when they eventually come home, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ. Now he sits in front of Shu'aib alayhi salam. وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. And he narrates his qasas, his story. And he tells Shu'aib alayhi salam of all that happened in Egypt. قَالَ لَا تَخَفْ نَجَوْتَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He says, listen, don't fear, O Musa, listen, don't fear. You are saved, you are now safe, and you have escaped the oppressive and the cruel people. So look at how Allah rewarded his dua. Number one, he wanted a whole lot of khair. Allah has given him a place to stay. Allah has given him a place to stay. That's part of the khair that he asked for. Very good dua. You need a job? Make this dua. You need a wife? Make this dua. You need a place to stay? Make this dua. You need clothes? Make this dua. Whatever it is that you need, this is the dua that you need to make. Because look at Musa alayhi salam, what Allah gives him. Allah has given him, number one, a place to stay. Then, قَالَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا يَا أَبَتِ اسْتَأْجِرْهُ إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. One of the two women said to their father, they advised their father, dear father, hire him, employ him. He gets a job. And now he gets a job. He made one dua. Whatever khair you got to give me, Allah, I need it. I need it. Whatever khair you got to give me, I really do need it. This is, if you want this dua, Surah Qasas, ayah number 24. Surah Qasas, ayah number 24. You will find this dua, very powerful dua, especially for that woman who seeks a spouse, or for that man who seeks a spouse. This is a very, very, very effective dua. Should be repeated as often as possible, and especially after every salah. So she tells the father, hire him. The best man you hire is one who is strong and one who is trustworthy. She says, oh my father, I noticed two qualities in him. One is very strong. How do I know he's strong? He lifted the rock, okay, and fed our animals. Number one, how do I know he's trustworthy? He asked me to walk in the back while he walked in the front. These are the two qualities you need to look for in a person when you wish to employ somebody. Number one, the person must be strong. He must be able to do the job. What's the point of getting somebody who can't do the job? But with the strength, what do you need? Trustworthiness. Honesty in that person. So these are the two primary attributes and characteristics that you need to find in a person before you hire that person and bring that person into your business or into your home and so forth. Then he hires him, so he gets a job. So he's got a home, a place to stay, he's got a job. What do you need now? You need a wife. You need a life partner. قَالَ إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى بْنَتَيَّ. Shu'ayb alayhi salam says, look, I have two daughters. I would like to get one of them married to you. Allah. And now he gets his wife. The dua that he made. Now he gets his wife. I wish to marry one of these two daughters of mine to you on condition that you serve me for 8 years. That was the mahar. It was allowed back then to stipulate this as a mahar. Today you can't stipulate it as a mahar. Father-in-law can't tell you, listen, you're going to come and run my business for 8 years. You want my daughter. No, no. Today, in our sharia, in the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, thus cannot be stipulated as a mahar. However, in that sharia, it was allowed. The father-in-law could tell the son, you have my daughter, but you need to work for me for 8 years. Right? So that was the condition, 8 years. فَإِنَ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا. Listen, Musa, if you want to make it 10, it's fine. But the additional two extra years will be from your side. You and I, the moment 8 is done, we're gone. Musa alayhi salam completed 10. That is what a wonderful father-in-law he had and what a great son-in-law he was. May Allah Ta'ala make us such, inshaAllah Ta'ala. And that concludes basically, that the story goes on where he goes back to Egypt and that, but the objective of explaining the circumstances was for us to appreciate the dua that he made. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. In return for that dua, Allah gave him a place to stay, Allah gave him a job, Allah gave him a wife, Allah gave him a family. And like this, we find this wonderful dua of Musa alayhi salam being answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding, inshallah. Next, from tomorrow, inshallah, we will discuss the wonderful dua made by Nabi Yunus alayhi salam when he was in the belly of the fish. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.